We're going to be continuing on the series that we've been doing on a healthy church. We've talked about the purpose of the church, the difficulties in the church, organization of the church. We've talked about the office of the pastor. Now we've been talking about the office of deacon the last few times. And the word deacon in Greek is diakonos. It means to be a servant, one who serves without necessarily having the office of deacon, but it's more of an attitude. The word does not necessarily describe the office of deacon more than it describes the heart of the individual. So it's really key that we understand the meaning of that word. And the simple way to put it is, a true deacon is someone who lives the life because it's the right thing to do. And so that's the key here. The early church was looking for these characteristics in the future deacons. And these are the characteristics that we talked about. They had a godly influence. They had godly relationships. They had godly reputations. They were full of wisdom. And they had a servant's heart. And they were men of faith. With when I summed it up the last time, I summed it up this way. When the selection of a deacon is done right, and the right men are chosen, great things can happen in the church. And that is the key. Getting the right men with the right heart attitude, working together with the pastor, great things can happen in the church. So let's go and start reading in Acts chapter 6. Let's start reading in verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring from the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called a multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God to serve tables. And when, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, anyway, the names are there, you can read them. Verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the multitude of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. So let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll dig into it. Dear Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word and the changing power of your word that takes place in our lives. And Lord, I just ask as we look at this passage again tonight that you would challenge us, that you would help us to be more like you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, I want to, you know, we've talked very specifically about the duties of a pastor, the duties of a deacon, but I want to kind of change gears here, and I want to take a different approach to this idea of being a deacon, and I want to examine the life of one of the original deacons, and that would be Stephen. Stephen, I believe, is someone that we can learn a lot from in his life and his testimony. So letter C in our outline is the life of Stephen. Paul Chappell wrote this about Stephen. He said, as the only expanded biography of a deacon in Scripture, Stephen's life models the characteristics of a godly deacon. And I like what he said, because to my knowledge, Stephen is the only deacon that we really have a biographical idea of who he was and what he did. So it kind of lays a foundation for us to understand a little bit better the intense responsibilities that a deacon has. So let's read again, same chapter, Acts chapter 6. Let's start reading in verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. When there arose a certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of Libertines, the Cyrenes and the Alexandrians, and of them in Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Did you see that? Important, important verse. Verse 11. Then they suborned him, suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceases not to ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Dear Lord, thank you for this time again. Thank you for your love and, Lord, your patience with us. And Lord, as I have studied this passage and I've tried to wrap my head around this man, Stephen, I ask that you would help me to convey the truths that you've shown me. And Lord, I just ask that you'd help us to be challenged by this man's life. We love you and we thank you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The first thing I want to point out is Stephen had strong faith. Stephen had strong faith. The Christian's journey is begun with faith in Jesus Christ at salvation. That's the start of the journey. But God does not want us to stay content in that. God wants us to grow. And he wants us to mature as believers. He wants us to expand our faith and strengthen our faith. Huh? Oh, okay. I thought I said something wrong. But that is God's plan. Is when a believer gets saved, is that they don't stay there, that they continue to go on, that they grow and their faith is strengthened. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Before, lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. Can you go back to verse 8, please? Verse 8 is so important. I have seen many people through the years get saved, but they get caught up in the philosophies of men. And instead of, I don't know if you write this passage down, Colossians chapter 6 verses, or chapter 2 verses 6 through 10, and see how many times it tells us to walk in him. In him, in him. In verse 8, it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world. What would be the traditions of men that he would be talking about here? We call it today religion. And probably the Jewish law. And it's so easy to get caught up in all of these things. But our focus needs to be on him. On Jesus Christ. Stephen's life was characterized by his faith. You know, there. Stephen was the first recorded martyr that we know of. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. But Stephen was stoned to death because of his faith in Jesus Christ and his willingness not to forsake truth. And so often, when we get into the philosophies of men and the seed and all of the things of this world, our ability to stand for truth is diminished. And Stephen was a man of great faith. The example that Stephen's faith should cause us to examine our own lives. Look back at verse 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Here these scholars, these religious leaders, tried to refute Stephen, but they were not able to do that. So they had to hire people to lie and accuse him of things that were not true. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We need deacons that are going to be men of faith who are willing to walk by faith and not by sight. Stephen had strong faith. The second thing I want to look at is Stephen followed the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit's leading. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6 tells us that it is only by God's Spirit that we can accomplish God's work. Zechariah 4:6 says this, when he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. See, it's only if Rick Lynn ever accomplishes anything for God, it is only going to be because of the Spirit of God. And I have some bad news for you. If you are ever going to accomplish anything for God, it's going to be because of the same thing. And the only reason Stephen was able to do what he did was because he was a man who walked with God. He followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. Stephen's impact on the early church was incredible. How do you think Stephen's impact on the early church, how do you think that impacted the early church, Stephen's actions? Okay, yeah, he was an example to the early church. Anybody else? Yes.
Oftentimes, a lot of people won't do what they want to do until they see one other person do it.
Exactly. It would give them courage to do the same. Absolutely. Anybody else? Okay. Question. What kind of impact do you think Stephen's life had on the unsaved?
Immense.
More specifically, and we'll get into it later, more specifically in the life of Saul, who would later become Paul. Do you think Paul, because it says that they hired people to lie against him. Who do you think was the one who did the hiring of the people? It was Saul. And it says later when after they stoned Stephen that the people who did the stoning laid their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. And Saul stood and watched as Stephen was stoned to death and giving praise to God the entire time. That had to have impacted his life. It had to have impacted the lives of the people throwing the stones. It impacted this young organism called the New Testament church. But more importantly, how is Stephen's life impacting people today? Same way. I wonder how many people in China look at Stephen as an example and say, hey, if he did it, I can do it. I wonder how many people in the former Soviet Union, as they were in the gulags being tortured for their faith, thought if Stephen could do it, I could do it. See, Stephen's life is still impacting people today. A godly deacon can change lives in unbelievable ways. And I believe, and I want to be careful how I say this, I believe... No, I don't need to be careful. I'm just going to say it. I believe that a godly deacon can in some ways have more influence in the lives of people than a pastor can.
An ungodly deacon.
Yeah, an ungodly deacon can do that. Yeah, can have influence too. But why do you think that is? You tell me. I mean, I know why, but you tell me.
He works closer with the people.
Okay, he works closer to the people.
He's not the pastor.
He's not the pastor, yes.
Relatability?
Relatability, oftentimes. Even though I'm a real relatable kind of guy, the reality is, as soon as somebody finds out I'm a pastor, this you can see the wall, you know, just, you know, I've had them run away from me in Walmart, man. Oh, there's the pastor. It's like I have a disease.
And then he came and found me and said, these people ran away from me.
I was just going to go say hi, you know. Anyway. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say it was you. But but the influence that, you know, I say a godly deacon, we can apply this to just a godly person. Somebody who walks with God and loves God and is willing to share the gospel and just talk to people about the things of God. What a blessing. But see, the problem I have as a pastor is, oh, you get paid to do that. You know? No, it is not my motive, but that's what people think oftentimes. Even here at church, you know, we get visitors, and when I introduce myself, it's, oh, hi, I'm Rick, I'm the pastor here. Oh, you know, and just like, okay, you know, it's like, what did I say? Number three. Not only was Stephen have strong faith, he followed the Holy Spirit's leading. He was filled with the Word. And I cannot overemphasize this one. This is so, so important. Because, you know, Stephen did not pull out his smartphone and say, oh, hey, let me look up these verses. Okay? And in chapter 7, which we will get into, Stephen basically preaches a sermon by memory. Okay? He didn't say, oh, let me pull up my notes and get my little smartphone out here. Excuse me. I should have taken that cough drop when you offered it. Stephen, I keep some in here just because I'm stupid. Stephen was a diligent student of the Word, and it is evident when we read chapter 7. Of Acts. Look at chapter 7 and verse 1. Then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The Lord God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. And when he was in Macedonia, before he dwelled in Chararon, he said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into a land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelled in Chararan, and from thence, when he was when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. So he starts. So when the priests start drilling on him about, you know, the preaching that he's been doing and so on and so forth, it's interesting that he starts with Abraham. Why is that so important?
They honored Abraham,
and these were all old, Jewish priests. And so he starts with Abraham, and he ends, and we're not going to read the whole thing, because. But look at verse 51. See where he ends all of this up. Now, he says something here that I don't know that I would ever say, but he ends up the sermon by saying, you stiff-necked and circumcised in heart and ears. Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye, which the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them, which has showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. Man, this guy doesn't cut. I mean, he just cuts right to the chase. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. See, he started with Abraham, and he basically preached the whole Bible, and ended with Jesus. And then he called him, I mean, you heard what he called him, stiff-necked and murderers and betrayers and the whole nine yards. Even under tremendous pressure, he knew the Word of God so well that he was able to recall it. And that to me is just an incredible testimony of who he was. He presented truth to his accusers. He preached Jesus Christ to them in an incredible picture from Abraham all the way to Jesus Christ. And a deacon who is full of faith and power and knows the Word of God can do incredible things, not only in the church, but outside the church. Look at verse 58. And cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. What a testimony. What an incredible testimony to the people who were watching, to the people who, you know, like we said a few minutes ago, to the people in the church and the people outside the church, the people that were doing the stoning, and quite possibly even Saul himself. He was not a mean, hateful person, although he said some hard things. He was not a mean, hateful person, but he spoke the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You know, one of the things that we need to do as believers is always stand for truth. But we need to do it in such a way that we demonstrate love. Truth in love.
Amen.
How many of you knew we had a paper? Fernley has a paper? Okay. I didn't know until just the other day. The print edition started in November. But they reached out to me about Thanksgiving and asked me to write an article for the paper, because they have a faith column or a religious column, whatever they call it. And so Melanie and I, well, I started and she kind of finished it because I messed it up. I shouldn't say messed it up. One of the difficulties I have is having a thought and getting it on paper. Does that make sense? So she's typing away. She's like, what did you mean by that? So we kind of talked through it. But anyway, it's coming out. I don't know what edition it's going to be coming out. But in that column that we wrote, we made the statement that truth in love equals hope. When we present truth, because truth can be hard sometimes. Truth is absolute. There's no getting around that truth sometimes can be hurtful. But when truth is given with love, we have hope. And that is what the world is seeking, hope. The world around us is craving for hope. And if anybody is going to be able to deliver hope, it should be believers in Jesus Christ. Amen. And Stephen, in this incredible environment, was able to deliver truth and love. And he demonstrated love. Look at verse 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. What an incredible testimony. What an incredible testimony. Being stoned to death for something he did not do. Boy, does that sound familiar? Being put to death for something he didn't do. He asked God, God, do not lay this sin to their charge. But can you imagine the thought that was going to be running through the minds of everyone who threw a stone? It's going to be replayed many, many times in their memories. The Apostle Paul will very often replay everything that took place in his mind. Lay not this sin to their charge. What a testimony. That is the kind of men that we need as deacons. Men who know truth and will deliver truth in love to give hope to a dying world. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and for the work you do in our lives. And Lord, we are so thankful and grateful for all that you do. Help us to be more like you. We love you and we thank you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay. So we are stopping a little bit early because of snow.